Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, this is awesome because here I am hanging out with amazingly cool people. And for those of you that tune in on a regular basis, you know I say that a lot. I only say it because it's true. I get to hang out with the best people. And three of those best people right here. Ian, how are you?
Me, I'm great, thank you. Usual sort of week of teaching classes. This week has been some classes I've been teaching. That was great fun. We had a new advanced Linux class to teach, and that was, we'd written this thinking, have we got the timings right? Have we got, no, we need another hour. But it wasn't, it was overall, it was all right. And people learn stuff. And of course, there's one that they never didn't learn anything and they didn't think it was worthwhile and they couldn't see what engineers needed it for. But yeah, of course, there's always one, the which we're going to slam silly when we see him next in person. But the rest of them were all enjoying it and was good to have deep dives into various bits of randomness of Linux. So that was fun. So that we did that. And yeah, this week's been mostly prep, a bit of prep for that and this. And so, yeah.
People UK like that are
warm again randomly tonight. It's much warmer than it should be this time of year.
Yeah, people like that are usually called. The people are usually like that are usually called knowledge resistant.
Yeah,
knowledge resistant.
There are probably some also of the generation who expect everything to be handed to them on a plate and not to have to contribute to get it. I mean, it's my old adage about what I do for a living is I work in the, as everybody probably should know by now, I work in the backup industry. And the key thing to remember about backup is backup touches everything. Everything within your environment will be integrated or work with the backup system because we need to protect that important data you've created. Because of that, we need to understand all those systems that we're going to talk to, because if the customer doesn't know, we need to be able to help guide them. So, and that's where I come in. Or used to when I talk to customers, and now I teach engineers to do the same thing when they'll listen to me. So, yeah. But yeah, knowledge, yeah, it's that thing of have to seed that idea. Backup touches everything.
Mm-hmm.
Backup touches everything. I thought you would say you drink and you know things. That's your job.
I do. I have a cup that says that.
Even I know that. Wait, I can do
today.
My,
is today is this one? Score. But I have a cup that says I drink tea and know things.
I got that reference.
Good.
So, what was it, Patrice? Knowledge resistant.
Knowledge resistant. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, that's too awesome. Many people like that. That's the problem.
As I sometimes call them, hard of thinking.
Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely not hard of thinking. Not knowledge resistant. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's it's been a funny week. My boss is out of office, so in a way it was quieter. In another way, it was a complete mess because, like, everybody's, of course, now coming to me with everything. So, and he, of course, didn't really take the week off because I think at some point yesterday he got bored. All of a sudden, I had a call from him and he was like, yeah, just wanted to talk to you. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, I think he's dealing with some family stuff. So I think he was kind of escaping from that, I guess.
But to be fair, talking with you is always nice.
That is true. Well, I like, yeah, I hope so at least. Yeah, no, it's been a good week. So happy.
Awesome. Also awesome. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Jeff. It's Ian mentioned it's warm in the UK. It's fall has arrived in Northern California. We have a blustery,
what does that
cool
mean?
Day.
So it's still very sunny. It's still very warm, but it's like 5 degrees less.
They don't mow their lawn as often.
Ah, okay. I thought maybe they're now putting socks on when they're wearing their flip flops.
We have to wear shirts.
Get
the
jumpers
beach.
Out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's bad.
We feel for you, but we feel
so
you.
Bad.
All right. I won't mention the weather ever again. The biggest problem I'm having. The biggest problem I'm having today is I have the theme song from Speed Racer stuck in my head this morning.
Okay.
How funny, because last night I had a long discussion with a couple people about Speed Racer.
No,
Yeah, maybe that's
go
why.
Speed
Maybe
Racer,
that's
go
why.
Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go.
That was beautiful.
All morning, that's what I've been
Superb.
hearing all morning.
Superb.
Yep, been there.
Yeah, and here's something I can ask you that in context is totally appropriate. So, what do you keep in your trunk?
I decline to answer on the grounds that I may incriminate myself.
So, for the rest of you that are like, I don't know what just happened. If you're in the US,
Basically,
Google
all of
Speed
us.
Racer's trunk. If you're in the UK, Google Speed Racer's boot.
Boot, yeah.
I'm getting so much better at translating between English and English.
Good job, Jeff.
That's really good. I'm
Good job.
I'm pleased you are.
Although, because of that, there's one translation point that just bugs me. All right, so in the pilot episode of Torchwood, you knew I was just going to nerd out for a minute.
Yes,
In the pilot
Torchwood. Yeah,
episode of
it's great.
Torchwood,
Happy to have you no doubt.
Captain Jack, he comes strutting in at the beginning of the episode,
Yeah.
and of course Captain Jack is American,
Supposedly,
and
yes.
supposedly,
Ireland's
so.
Canadian, isn't he?
No, he's actually British, I think. The actors, I think, is British, but he plays the American.
Oh, Scottish even. He's Scottish even, isn't he?
John Barrowman is not American,
Thought he
and yeah,
was
he's
British.
British.
I think so.
I'm 99% sure he's British,
Everybody's
and
probably screaming
definitely.
at their whatever screens
And they're
right
like,
now.
no, he's from Scotland, just like
Imagine.
David Tennant or something like that. But anyhow, he comes strutting in and he's doing his American accent. And because he did spend a lot of time in the United States, he does a really good American
Born in,
accent.
you were so close. He was born in Glasgow, Scotland. He was raised in Illinois, so. And then he
There we
returned to the
go.
UK.
Mount Vermont.
You're
Glasgow
so close.
and Illinois.
Yeah.
One mixed up guy.
Yeah.
On so many levels, yeah. But yeah, he struts in and he's talking about all this stuff and what he wants people to do, and total American accent, speaking like American. And then I can't remember if he asks someone or tells someone to turn theirs on, but he wants a torch. And I'm like, not
Yeah,
a
a torch.
torch. That's a
What's a
flashlight.
torch?
It's a torch, yeah. Well,
And it
to be
ruined the
fair,
scene for me.
no, to be fair, he it plays in the UK, so he's a smart man. So he probably figured if he said like flashlight,
Anyways.
they would not understand him, so he said torch.
Also, I'm sure it was in the script.
And that too, yeah. And that was probably written by some Brits, so.
Yes. And yeah,
Definitely
I
written by
no,
some
I totally
Brits.
get it. You need to use the correct dialogue for the target audience.
It's called localization.
Yeah. And
Yes.
also, can we
Although it
talk
would have
about
been.
let's bring back Torchwood? I loved it.
I loved
Oh,
Torchwood.
yeah.
Yeah, even the
And then when they
later
finally did
stuff.
the follow-up movie,
Yeah. Oh, so good.
it was super good.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, please bring it
Yeah,
back.
that's it. I really enjoyed that scene. It was
Yeah.
Doctor Who for adults.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, with that one guy who became a doctor later on.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, there is a reference in Doctor Who where he said, yeah, I got that face from somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be from there.
Yeah.
It could be from Fires of Pompeii.
Fires of Pompeii, yeah,
Yes.
that's the one, isn't it? That's the golden reference, I think.
So anyhow, long-winded way of saying, I'm very proud of my ability to do English to English translation, and that I'm not afraid to ask what a term means when I hear a new thing, which is basically all the time. Yeah.
You're not knowledge resistant. That's good.
I am not
Good.
knowledge resistant. It
Yeah.
took me a long time before I realized what done and dusted was actually referencing. I knew it meant done, but yeah.
So I my favorite quote from Torchwood to this day is "Reese, we gotta go." One of the characters, she used to say that all the time. "Reese, we gotta go."
A German doing a Welsh accent. I mean, that's never gonna.
No, that's never gonna be.
I was thinking, I was trying. Who the hell is she trying to write? And I don't get it. Penny dropped.
So
Oh,
funny.
yeah, bless her heart. She tried.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever met a German with a Welsh accent?
No such
Well, if you've
thing, I
watched
guess.
Torchwood,
No,
you
I can imagine
have.
that's weird.
Yes.
Now, in the US, no one
No,
would
not at
have.
all. That would
No.
sound like gangbusters,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
bet.
Yeah. So, I completely lost track. I've said hi to everyone, right?
Think so.
Yeah, think so.
Okay.
Have we
Well,
said hi to
then
you?
we.
How are you doing?
I'm doing
Yeah.
okay. I'll tell you, the big thing that I'm waiting for right now is for a night where we don't have cloud cover, just after sunset, so I can see the comet.
Comment, yeah. I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah, we're
Neither
having
have I.
cloud issues around sunset.
Same.
We had some amazing aurora the other night here. Red sky. You could really see it with the naked eye. I mean, before I found the phone sort of filters out some of the goings and really brings the things down, but you could see it with the naked eye. It was amazing
Wow,
the other
that's
night.
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, now you live farther north than I do, so the likelihood of you
Much.
seeing aurora is higher anyhow. And actually, a lot of people don't realize how far south the United States actually
Yes.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Ian is
Colorado.
our northern correspondent, right?
Yeah, I'm
He's like the
Yeah,
farthest
definitely.
north of all of us. And I think then it's me, and then it's Jeff, and then it's Tom, I think. Might be. Yeah, that's hard to tell. I think between the two of
I
you.
might be a little bit further north.
I think Tom is north of me.
I think you're right. Definitely close.
Yeah, so I'm our southern correspondent, y'all.
Y'all. So you should start speaking Spanish, right?
Speaking of not being knowledge resistant, I've been looking to find a good local course for Spanish
Oh, nice.
because I don't speak Spanish and I should. It's a very common language around here, and I should be able to speak to everyone.
Yes.
So I need to
Order
learn
the good
Spanish
food.
Oh yeah.
and order the good food. Right. Yeah.
Because it's all about
Ian, we
food.
could see the aurora here as well. So
But
super far south.
Jeff, but that's because
Yeah.
you don't live so far from Aurora.
Yeah,
You
that's true. I'm
know,
not that far
you
from
drive
Aurora.
from here and be in Aurora in 40 minutes,
Yeah, see?
unless the traffic's bad.
That's why you can see it.
Yeah. I even worked in
Yeah, that's why
Aurora
I
at
can
one
see
point,
it.
long
And
ago.
that's where they have all those high beam lights that create the aurora borealis,
Ah,
right?
that's okay.
Yes.
That explains it, sure.
Yeah, there's actually a city code that prevents people from having Christmas or other holiday lights for their homes because they can't afford the power draw for that when they're trying to keep the big aurora lights going.
Right.
It's true. just heard it on the
You
internet.
just go to the Borealis bar in Aurora where they have all the lights
Mm-hmm.
set up. It's really nice.
So,
And
short
drinks are really
title.
good too.
Jeff can drive
Yeah.
to the Borealis bar.
Yeah. Write it down so we don't
Already
forget.
done.
Excellent. Yeah.
Nice. It's just such a thing to see because we never used to see them this far down. I mean,
Yeah, that's true.
literally speaking, this far down, it would be holidays to Iceland. If you want to see it, you're gonna have to go up, and then there was no guarantee. And now this year alone, I've had three or four sightings at home. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, shows there's more electrical activity in the up in the ionosphere,
Yeah, I mean
but that's
the sun is
interesting.
in a very active cycle right now, so for sure.
Yes, our sun has a grumbly tummy.
Oh,
It does.
should we bring it
Sunspots. Is it
sometimes?
sunspots or that kind of thing?
Yes, it needs sun tums.
It does.
Ian, if you want to have a high likelihood of seeing aurora on a regular basis in the United States, you go to Alaska.
Yeah, sure.
Oh
But
yeah.
to see
Oh
aurora
yeah.
here in Colorado is so rare. Like in my lifetime, it hadn't happened until this summer, and then it was twice. Yeah,
That's how special
it
it
sounds
is.
grumbly
There's a
tummy.
place. Indeed. There's a place I'd love to go. I keep seeing shots of pictures taken in Argentina where you've got this beautiful uninterrupted view of the night sky. You can it's big it's proper big sky. And it just and because it's in the southern hemisphere as well, it's just amazing that I'd like to get to at some point to see. And because you can really sort of,
I can
it's there, you
also,
can reach out and touch it kind of good.
I can also recommend Arizona. Go out into the desert at night. There's, I mean, no pollution, no really humidity in the air usually. It's super clear. That's why like a lot of the like observatories are there. So one's still not up in like
Oh,
Hawaiian
yeah, of
mountains
course,
and
they
so
all
on.
got it along there.
So if
Right,
but
if,
Argentina definitely also worth it.
yep. So
Yeah.
if you want big sky, beautiful night views in Colorado, come in the summer.
Yeah.
And we will go into Rocky Mountain National Park and
You
we
will
will
get
go
drunk and
up.
then you will see stars. No,
And then you'll see stars when you fall over and hit your head on rocks.
Just be careful that you don't
I have
get
no
eaten
problem with
by
any of this. It
mountain
sounds good so far.
Jeff, we do that in Sunnyvale. It's just down the road here.
Yeah, but
We
you have to
often
be
fall
careful
over
with
and have to go to
vampires
altitude
there.
for that.
You have to be careful with vampires there, Tom, right?
Oh, I thought they
Sunnyvale.
had their own vampire hunting team.
They do, yeah. But you still have to be
But you
careful.
should
No,
probably
that's
still be on the lookout.
yeah.
That's up in Forks, Washington.
No, you
Isn't that
just
right? What was
eat
that?
a lot of garlic and then it's fine.
Yeah, that's no problem.
No problem. All right. Who has the first story? And that would be Patrice.
Wow, I'm
Ian, you're
fast,
going to have
and
to get faster.
I'm bringing the
You want
highbrow stories
your
today because I'm bringing a Prada story. Yes, it is kind
I
of a
love
tech
this
story.
story.
It's kind of a
I
tech
love this
story.
one.
So, Axiom Space and Prada have kind of teamed up to design the new or one of the new spacesuits. There's multiple being designed right now because the original spacesuit design, I don't know if most people know that, it's really old. I mean, really old. It is Apollo age, like times old, basically. There've been, I mean, technology-wise, there've been some little updates here and there, but for the most part, it is exactly. It's actually, I think, technically even exactly the same suits that they've reused in some
Pretty
cases.
much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, they've gotten some fixes and upgrades over time, but they're still the same. And a couple of years ago, I think NASA started the process of, hey, we probably need new ones at this point because technology has evolved since then. So, and as far as I know, this is one of the I know SpaceX is working on its design, but this is one of them. So, this is also, by the way, not unheard of that a kind of fashion house would work with NASA or some other company. This has happened in the past. But yeah, Prada is only, of course, designing the outer layer of the suit, so not the like inside. It's not silky smooth inside or whatever, unfortunately. But Prada is lending their expertise in, and that makes sense. It's not as much about the design. I think they probably have some say in that as well. Like, how does it look from the outside? I mean, they're putting their name on it. But for the most part, why they're doing it is because they have expertise in high performance materials and features and sewing techniques. Yeah, it's sure the visual part and kind of okay. Let's make it look somewhat nice at least for what it is, a spacesuit. Honestly, it doesn't look that different if you look at it.
Yeah, sure look at that thing. Doesn't look that dissimilar to the one we saw people hopping around the moon in.
Yeah, you know, which makes sense because
from the outside,
I mean,
just looking at it.
Yeah, which makes sense because I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of functional thing it has to do, and then there's not so many different ways you can do that.
Yeah, there's so many ways you can package it, can't you? So it's got some similar ways.
Yeah, I mean,
I
you still need the big ass backpack.
LTE is going to be.
Yeah, that's one of the features it has. Like this has you could use your iPhone on the moon. With 4G at least, not 5G, but okay.
I wonder what the coverage is like.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, surely when you get into the vastness of space, you're not going to pick up the other side of the satellites, though.
Yeah.
When I saw the title of this story, my first thought was an astronaut in a spacesuit walking down the red carpet, and a reporter asking, "What are you wearing?"
What are you wearing?
Prada.
Yeah. No, I mean, you still have the big ass ugly backpack because you need that. You're still going to pee in your pants because, yes, that's unfortunately part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, all of that still, unfortunately, still applies. But, I think it's still cool to see that someone actually cares about stuff like that. And it's not just like, let's just make something functional and it's good enough. Like nobody's anyway going to see it, right? You're moon. Like how good does it have to look? It's like it's all relative, right? I mean, the environment is so like boring and barren that like the probably ugliest suit looks good there, right? That's kind of not the point.
Right.
So it's the Axiom extravehicular mobility unit. If you want to know exactly what the suit is called. Axemo. So yeah, it's cool.
Different from the Apollo spacesuits.
Mm-hmm.
There's no external hoses or cables.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is really self-contained in this.
Yeah, there's. I mean, also. The sizing is more varied, I would call it. I mean, remember, like they had for the longest time big problems finding people that fit into the suits they had because they literally couldn't make any. I mean, they had with women especially, they had problems. Like,
of course, if
you don't fit in the suit, then you have a problem. Or like someone couldn't leave the ISS because there wasn't a suit that fit them. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, or like, that is a problem. So according at least to them, that's one of the things they're doing. So the gloves are custom, the suit is designed in a way that it can be, like they called it, they said, it accommodates a wide range of crew members with anthropomorphic sizing, whatever that means. So I don't know, could
so
be a space cat.
It's designed to fit humans?
Yeah, that's a weird way to describe it. Anthropomorphic sizing.
Yeah, exactly. So
the news is you can get a custom fit spacesuit, but I can't get custom fit jeans from Levi's.
Yes. Well,
what
you could.
Wrong
you,
with this world?
You probably could if you were paying as much as you would for the suit.
Oh, that's true. If my pants cost $2 million, I could probably
get
that. The problem here isn't that Levi's doesn't make these; it's that you're cheap.
That's true.
Oh
That's true.
God.
I
Yeah.
order
Oh,
off the
how it
rack,
hurts.
Jeff. I pull it off the rack.
Same.
Oh, yes. You're
I'm
so boring.
cheap just like
I'm
you.
not.
But you see, Patrice, this is why you always look better
Yeah,
than the rest of us.
that's
Right,
probably.
exactly.
Yep. Has to be
Yeah.
said, I am cheap too.
You're so cheap. The only, but say, slightly bad thing about this is we will not see this for a little while, like in real life, because it's supposed to be worn for the Artemis 3 mission to the moon, which is scheduled for September 2026 at the absolute earliest, and probably more like 2030 if we're being honest.
Yeah, I think that's a really safe bet, Patrice.
Yeah, so it'll be a while until we actually see this. Yeah, but I'm excited. I mean, new spacesuits. I'm pretty sure like a bunch of astronauts are being like they're really excited because they finally get to wear something from this this side of the millennium.
It looks like the original Apollo spacesuits were, designed in like 64.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
A long time.
it's been a
Must have
really
been.
long time. As I said, it's not as if they haven't done some minor changes. And I mean, as I said, when they started introducing women, they had to make some changes, and they did. But
Right.
for the most part, at the core, it is the same design, and as I said, literally or more or less the same suits from what I heard, at least my understanding, to this day.
Yeah, they're yeah. Patrice, here's the irony with that. Even though the suit designs are shockingly similar to the Apollo missions, the spacesuits we use today, they couldn't take those to the moon. They've
Yes,
done
that's true.
modifications so that they're for use in space,
Yeah.
not on the lunar surface.
That is true. Yeah, and there's a difference. I mean, in space you barely have to deal with things like dust, for example. Because
Right.
yeah, or even well, some gravity, but like not as much. Yeah, but as I said, I mean the current suits, as far as I know, also don't have HD cameras, for example. I hope that they upgrade those to 4K cameras, because why not? HD is so old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. On the other hand, I mean, yeah, I understand that, because stuff has to survive in space with radiation and temperatures and all of that. So maybe HD is the best they can do currently. Without it, co I mean, without it costing like whatever, a g gazillion dollars per camera or something.
Yeah, I'm guessing a gazillion dollars per camera, they're probably not going to go for
Yeah, but I
just a
mean,
hunch.
the thing is, it's not just, as I said, it's not just a new design. It's or like it might look from the outside more or less shape-wise similar, but there's a ton of cool things in it. I mean, the suit pressure is like variable. They can change it. The systems are redundant. There is CO2 scrubbers in there. They can maintain them in orbit or in mission. It's a modular design and so on. So I mean, we for sure we talked about the LTE and so on. We for sure have learned over the last, how long is that now? Se six, seven, 60, 70 years?
60 years,
Yeah, something like that.
60, yeah.
Yeah, 60 years. We've learned a ton since then, and so at some point, yeah, we should use what we've learned in technology, what we've learned in designing suits, what we've learned in materials, and apply that to like a
Oh, yeah.
current
Yeah,
setup.
I'm guessing the materials end of it is probably the biggest advancement. The
Yeah.
design is probably improved too, and the features and so on, but I got to believe the materials available today are a lot better than
Oh,
60
100%.
years
I mean,
ago.
the fact that all of this lasted this long is in itself
Right.
pretty. I mean, if you think about the
Pretty good
environment it
design.
had to support, and it
Yeah.
had to keep the people safe, and I mean, does the design lasted this long? That's pretty good.
So, that when I think about the suits aren't really that old. You know why?
Why?
Because they're
Why?
like 3 years younger than me. So
Okay.
So
I don't
yeah,
want
they're practically brand new.
Yeah, practically
Brand
brand.
new.
Yeah.
Maybe middle age-ish.
Barely worn.
Barely worn. Only
Yeah.
worn twice.
You know, maybe teaming with Prada, this is the spacesuit's midlife crisis.
Oh, could
There
be.
you go.
Could
Yep.
be.
And now we know what kind of spacesuit the devil wears.
Yes.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that Tom really wants to work with Prada to get one of those spacesuits for himself. For
That's
the
right.
next 60
I think
years,
that's,
right?
yeah.
And instead of just a plain old moon rover, I want a Ferrari convertible as the moon rover to
Yeah,
cap off the
sure.
midlife crisis.
That
Sure.
seems fair.
Wait a second. Isn't it the what is it the this ugly Tesla thing called again?
Cybertruck?
Yeah. I thought that was the one these days.
Cybertruck. Cyberstuck?
I'm not going to say the things that I've heard it called.
Yeah, the people I see driving Cyberstucks are not in a middle mid age, midlife crisis. They have other challenges.
Okay.
There's a Cybertruck that I've seen multiple times, because I recognize the guy and the license plate, driving along what we call the diagonal. And it's Highway 119, and it runs between Boulder and Longmont. And so I'm guessing the guy works in Boulder and lives in Longmont. And the other day, I'm driving along, and his Cybertruck is sitting on the side of the road, broken down, and a tow truck's pulling up.
That's why they're called cyber stuck.
Cyber stuck. And there's another one that I know it's not his because different license plate that I've seen on a flatbed truck. So it was being towed.
Yeah, but you're forgetting one thing. It's not designed for Earth. It's designed for the moon. Because there's no air, so it doesn't rust.
That's the
So it
problem.
doesn't rust.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's one that I see at my favorite little brewery, and I don't know who owns it, but I have an idea because it's there, and I see the same group of people there, so it's got to be one of the people in that group. And he got it earlier this year because I remember the temp plates on it. And so I'm going to say 6 months, 8 months tops. They've had this Cybertruck thing, and the body looks like it's a lot older than that already.
Yeah,
Yeah.
not real well built.
No.
But you
The
know what is
panels
well
don't
built?
sit right on it. I
Tom's
do
sorry.
know what is. Oh, see, I was going to mix it up,
Oh,
but
okay.
sure. You're
Sure,
fine.
mix
We'll
it
go
up.
Tom's story. Nope, too late. It's already ruined. We'll just, whatever.
Hey,
Actually, we'll do
don't miss
Ian's story
mine.
because his is
Don't
first.
miss mine.
Oh,
Right.
Yeah, Ian.
It is indeed. And it's an interesting one. The Google are funding generation of creating small modular reactors, SMRs, otherwise known as small nuclear reactors. I mean, it's something that isn't going to be around for some time, like 2030,
Like,
before they'll actually
never.
have a functional prototype. But they are getting involved in the whole world of nuclear power for their AIs, which is to be encouraged in some way because it is at least an ecological, a far more sustainable method of creating electricity to feed the big AI machines that they run.
Yeah, that's the real reason. It's not about the
I know
technology.
Microsoft have done
Yeah, Three Mile
Microsoft have done the
Island.
same though, haven't
Yeah.
they? They've got they, yeah, they've tapped into Three Mile Island. They've got their own personalized feed.
I can see
So yeah,
absolutely
they're all
no
doing. I mean,
reason how this is going to go wrong. None.
No. I'm not at all thinking about
No.
Terminators and
Nope.
Taking over the world or any of this kind of thing. Not at all. No.
Chernobyl, Fukushima, Three Mile
Yeah,
What
yeah,
could
yeah. Oh,
possibly go
Gesundheit. What could
Hanford.
possibly go wrong?
Yeah. I don't
I mean,
know.
I love the idea of nuclear power, but and I'm sure they could build them much safer today than they have in the past. but
It wouldn't be cheap.
it, A, wouldn't be cheap, and
No.
B, who's going to get rid of the waste?
Ah, there's, I mean, there's like a
Well,
million other
yeah, as we were
problems with
talking about this the other
it.
day, we wonder if the Mariana Trench will not become the dumping ground of the world now, where
No.
they'll start
Right.
dropping
Easy. We shoot
things
it
into the
into
deepest
space
parts of
because
the.
that's literally the only place we can send it to.
Right.
But let's hope
We
no,
could
none
learn
of
from
the
that somehow
rockets blow
better.
up.
Yeah.
This keeps on going forever and ever and ever.
No,
And eventually we'll find it again
you
at
shoot
some
it into
point
the
in the
sun or
future.
something. Set.
Well, the delta V to send something out of the solar system is lower than it is to send it into the sun.
Okay, so
So
let's
just
send it
put
to
stuff on a
Saturn.
slow trajectory out of the solar system.
Yeah, said I cannot. I can't see anything going wrong with that either.
Have it chase what is it, Viking, the one that's left
Oh,
the solar
Voyager,
system?
I mean.
Voyager,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's an idea.
Vija.
Yeah,
Put it on the backside of the
Vija.
moon.
Oh, yeah.
Vija,
No, no,
I
no, no.
pray for
That's
space in 1999.
where the Nazis already are. Sorry, that space is taken.
Oh,
Yeah, they're on the
right.
outside the moon. Yeah, we
Yeah.
know they're on the outside
Maybe
the moon, so it's not.
Elon can take it with him on his trip to
Oh,
Mars.
there's an idea. Let's do that.
Possible.
Yeah, no.
Elon, we have one extra piece of cargo for you. Don't open it.
I
It's
mean,
Twitter fans. You'll love them.
I know why Google is doing that. I mean, they have all those, they've already, like, all the net zero, whatever that they promised, like, 2, 3 years ago, they've already said they're not doing it. They're, oh, we have to do AI now, so we can't. So, end of discussion. Like, I think both Google and Microsoft have already kind of said that. So, of course, this is not, oh, to help the environment or support advanced, whatever. No, this is literally just they need power, they need it kind of fast, and they need it kind of for them cheap. So, what is cheap? Power that is paid by the taxpayer. So, let's do that. It's easy as that. Like, I know some people who work in nuclear energy and they're saying it's safe, and I believe them, like that they believe it. It is neither super safe nor is it net zero, even if people pretend it is, because all the concrete that you needed and all everything that went into it, it's never going to be net zero. But okay, whatever.
No.
Like, sure, do
I mean,
that.
you've got to make the thing in the first place, and that requires
Yes. Yeah.
energy
And
and fossil
I
fuel
mean,
and create and build the thing.
yeah, and there is a reason why, like, even all the programs or the projects that have started, which some countries have been doing, like the UK, for example, or France, have so far pretty much failed because they are about 3 times as expensive or twice or something as originally planned, and the price keeps going up, and nobody knows if that will ever make any money whatsoever. So it's no, but that's why nobody's really thinking about doing it. And the only reason why Google is and why Microsoft is that it helps them with their supposed net zero goals. So they can pretend it's net
Yeah,
zero
it
because
is. It's
people
all about the
pretend it's net
fake.
zero. That's all there is.
Greenwashing, as
Yeah,
we call it, isn't it?
exactly.
It's yet
Yeah.
another attempt at some level of greenwashing and saying, we're doing the right thing. We're putting money here. No,
Yeah.
and we're still churning away vast quantities of fossil fuel generated electricity.
Yeah, as I said, I don't think it's. I don't think no matter what they're saying right now, it's even going to happen. But because they will not find anybody who actually builds it or funds it or approves it.
And it's one of those things.
The fact that all these companies are rushing headstrong into AI or generative AI,
Yeah. For no reason.
it's for no, yeah, for no
No
reason.
reason.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, especially when you take into account the environmental impact. It is just crazy what's ha happening. And Microsoft buying up the power that's going to come from Three Mile Island when that's back up and running again. Now
Again.
Google doing this, and yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yes, it is. And at the same time, more and more countries are basically producing all their energy, all of it, like from renewable sources. Literally. I mean, On paper, let's put it this way, on paper. Even there, there's a little asterisk to it.
Yeah. On, yes, on paper.
On paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carbon credits.
No,
that's
no,
not
well,
actually.
Not that. They like Austria, for example. I think last they just released that last year. I think they produced 95% of all the power they needed, like from renewable sources. But not at the right time. Not at the same time.
Sorry, I was misunderstanding you.
Yeah, I mean carbon credits and so on, that's also part of the game, yes, but not that. They literally did produce that much, but it's more that, yeah, some of it was... Austria added last year as much solar, actually more solar power than all the water, like the water-based power generation of Austria combined. They added.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, they basically, if they had rebuilt the entire thing, all the rivers, then Austria has a lot of rivers and a lot of water and all of that. If we had rebuilt all of that, even that wouldn't have been enough for what we added in solar. So, but as I said, there's problems with that because we did not produce it always at the time when we needed it. So,
slight more batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
some UK's gone all in on wind power for a lot of our.
Mm-hmm.
Generation, wherever you go, where there's open flat spaces and it gets windy,
there's a lot of wind. So
and they seem to be doing, they seem to be helping. They're producing an awful lot of our electricity now.
Yeah. Yeah, but sure, we need nuclear because reasons.
Because
money.
because money.
I want to make sure we don't miss anyone's stories, so mm-hmm. I'm going to ungracefully move us on to Tom's now.
Yeah.
Ungracefully? I thought that was pretty graceful.
That was pretty graceful.
Oh, all right. It wasn't a clever transition.
Okay.
So
speaking of
popcorn.
Something that you need in data centers for AI.
Yeah, speaking of AI.
Much better transition.
This is the 25th anniversary of NVIDIA's GeForce 256 from 1999. And they're celebrating it as the 25th anniversary of the birth of the GPU. Hmm. And apparently, according to NVIDIA, I have no way of checking this, it was the GeForce release in 1999 where the term GPU was used for the first time. So there were certainly graphics cards, you know.
Yeah, there were.
Since the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know, NVIDIA even had them and S3 and Matrox and everybody else. But, so it's kind of a phony anniversary. But I think the fact that GeForce started 25 years ago, it blew my mind. Wow, it's 25 years ago. I keep thinking GPUs are, you know, last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Time flies, you know.
Yeah, I mean... Let's put it this way, GeForce and NVIDIA are pretty iconic for GPUs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That chip in particular, killed a lot of competition, number one, was sort of the start of the rise mm-hmm. of NVIDIA in its first role as, you know, a gaming video card, super video card. And that's when the other companies started, you know, dropping off, except for... what was the one up in Toronto that AMD bought?
Matrox?
No, Matrox was in Montreal.
Oh, I forgot about Matrox.
S3, Matrox, Cirrus. Cirrus Logic was one, wasn't it, that existed? That was. I'm old. I've got this gray hair. I remember these things.
I can't believe I can't remember the name of that company. Anyway,
I'm disappointed in you too.
Anyway, so, you know, it basically got to a two-horse race. So there's really two major suppliers of GPUs even today. You know, you have a lot of other people doing them, you know, built-in GPUs and so on. But so I think that it is pretty amazing. If you think about what the world looked like in 1999, certainly gaming and other applications that needed good 3D graphics were the primary use case for a GPU. And today it's totally different. I mean, gaming is still a big thing, but that's a very small part of the market. And when you think about how much a GPU offloads from a CPU, I think it's a pretty interesting pivot in just in compute. You know, the idea that you have a you know essentially a co-processor that takes task kind of completely, you know, all the matrix operations and things that you can do. It's quite an advancement in compute.
And I
Tom, I
mean,
have a tech question for you.
by the way,
Oh, but Patrice, go.
ATI was the company that you,
ATI,
yes,
thank you.
yeah.
Thank
But
you.
like, I mean,
Yeah, I think you mentioned
GPU,
that.
I mean, I think, and I think even in that, they were like pretty important. The whole idea of doing compute tasks on a GPU, like not just graphics tasks, but
Yeah.
just general compute tasks on a GPU, I think it's also something that they kind of pushed and maybe even pioneered. I don't remember who invented it.
Yeah, and this GeForce preceded CUDA, so the CUDA library development came afterwards, where you could really offload more and more computations on the GPU. They were still doing, what was it called, DirectX
Yeah,
stuff. It was a
DirectX.
Microsoft
Yes.
thing. So this precedes CUDA, you know, and we had floating point coprocessors in the 80s and 90s. Remember the 387 and 487 and all that. But they didn't last very long. You know, the floating point unit got integrated into the CPU after a couple of generations.
Especially in the scientific space, I mean, that is pretty important because you can do a lot of, like, if you have very specific, very special compute tasks, GPU was just way better at crunching those numbers. I mean, these days, like,
Absolutely.
why are all the password crackers and whatever, why are they using GPUs for that? Or even like
To
blockchain or
math.
whatever, because it's math and GPUs are just that much better at math than CPUs are.
Really good at math.
Yeah, we used them early on in the industry that I was in for basically like graphics, matrix multiplication task.
That's
Because
math.
that's what the pipeline that's what the pipeline and GPUs do is work on matrices. There were circuit simulators that would go so much faster, and that industry is moving a lot to GPUs. And kind of like AI, they use tens of thousands of GPUs all at once to do really big problems.
I mean, these days, if you wanna do like crypto mining, if at all, if, like, I'm not sure why, but if you want to, there is no way around getting the beefy, like getting a ton of the beefiest GPUs, really, because
Right.
doesn't work any other way.
All
Right.
right, it's pretty
Now
much run
we'll
on
show
price.
me as not knowledge averse,
Resistant.
resistant,
Resistant.
and I'm not afraid to let my ignorance flag fly here, even though I feel like this is something I should already know. There's a sentence in here. It says that the original GeForce 256 used 135 millimeter squared chip packing 17 million transistors. 139 millimeter squared. So, like, that sounds like a really, really big thing if you're squaring the size.
So
No,
what
it's
is
all
that?
it.
35 mil
Yeah, it's
35
about.
millimeters on a side.
No, it's less.
That's a pretty big die. At the time, it was probably close to the max die size at the
So
time.
what does that mean? Does that mean,
It
oh wait, is it on each side?
No. That
Like, yeah,
this
so you take
square
the
shape. The
square
side,
root. You take the
not.
square root.
The square root of 176, that's what each side is long, basically.
Right.
You know,
Okay.
it's the space, not the space,
Area.
whatever. The area. Thank you.
Area.
That's the word I was looking
Okay.
for. It's the
Thank
area is
you.
176 millimeters squared.
Was it 176? Is that what they said? Oh, there it is. Yeah. 139 millimeter squared. So
Okay,
that's.
139.
Oh, no, that's not that big. It's like
No.
13 millimeters on a side. So it's not very big.
Okay.
There is an upper limit to the size of a chip based on
Yeah,
the lithography equipment.
should be something like 11 point something millimeters squared.
All right, so I feel like this is something I should have known, but clearly didn't. I suppose this is one way that I can show that yes, in fact, I am human, just like everyone
Yes, in
else.
fact, you went to school
Well,
in the US. No.
Yeah, I went to school in the United States.
That was a
You know,
low
the fact that I know what a millimeter is,
blow. Yeah, that actually
that gives me AP quality right there.
Oh, exactly. No, I was kidding, of course.
The other
But you're
thing is
not far off.
they say it used the TSMC 220 nanometer process node, which back then
Wow.
was known as 22 micron.
Yeah.
We didn't use nanometer back
No,
then. And
220
now they're
nanometer.
at,
How many?
2 and 3 nanometer.
Yeah, I mean, they
So
cut
that's,
tons of chips in that same space now.
yeah, that's like 10 generations. I don't know what the transistor per square millimeter difference is, but it's a lot. So,
It's a lot.
17 million transistors for a logic device in 1999 was huge. NVIDIA always did the biggest chips, and they always broke our tools. Everybody would use the NVIDIA test cases as the capacity and runtime tests for their tools.
Interesting.
And but why green popcorn? I mean, that's the big question.
Green popcorn.
Yeah,
That's funny.
they celebrated with green popcorn.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of their color, right? The corporate
Yeah, that's
colors is
true.
green.
Yeah, the logo is
Oh,
green,
okay.
so it makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Green pop, or maybe they're Irish.
I could not know.
Or maybe it was released on St. Paddy's
I
Day.
mean, or maybe they wanted to be Irish.
I don't think Jensen is Irish, though. He's from Taiwan.
My old traditional Irish name, Jensen.
Jensen Long, yeah.
Jensen Button,
Yeah.
yeah.
He's from Dublin, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wrong. That's so wrong. Unlike TSO Hoss, which is so right. And what makes them so right is that, oh my God, can you believe Ewan still lets me do this? Holy crap. Anyhow,
Maybe no longer.
every week I'm surprised, every single week.
Is
But
this,
here's
wait, is this Jeff's retirement party right here?
I
Are we
think right
witnessing?
here, right
I mean, he
here.
got a warning. What, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago.
Two
So,
weeks ago, yeah, he was
yeah, I
warned.
got put
That's
on
why we had the
notice.
interim host.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I'm skating on thin ice here.
Yeah,
You are
and
on probation,
that's
Jeff.
the story, and I'm sticking with
You're on a
That's
performance
terrible.
improvement plan, a
Ah,
PIP.
right. Yes.
Yeah. Well, unlike me, doesn't need a performance improvement plan. TSO host. Look, I did two segues out of
No,
that. Wow, go me. I'm trying to redeem myself. Anyhow, so TSO host. Why do I keep saying this? Well, it's because they are helping us out. They're giving us the resources we need to be able to do what we do, which is live stream shows for you every single week, and to make sure that all those podcasts are available so that you can watch or listen whenever you want. And how do they do that? Well, they're taking the things that they do really well, web hosting, and making sure you have solid bandwidth. So they're giving us that bandwidth so we can live stream every week. They're giving us that hosting space so that we have a place for the website to live. And then they're giving us the server space we need so that all the show files have a place to live. And then that means that you can watch or listen to shows anytime you want because those recordings are just waiting for you. And without that help that they give us, we would not be able to do what we do. So we really appreciate TSO Host for being here and helping us. And it would be super cool if you went online on your favorite social media platform and gave TSO Host a shout out for being here and helping us. Just let them know that you appreciate them. And that's all you need to do. If, though, you found domain names that you want, like tomscreenpopcorn.com, which by the way is going to sell like crazy. You can use TSO Host to buy that domain because they do offer good pricing, But they also give you a discount because you're part of the BTN family. Just use the discount code BTN20 to get an extra 20% off your order. So, hey, thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, Patrice did an amazing job of modernizing our live stream and chat system. And she will demur and say, it was easy, it didn't take much time. But the reality is, it's easy and didn't take much time because she's just that good. So thank you, Patrice, for doing that. And do you mind telling people about the super cool new live chat system that's here because of you?
Absolutely not. I'm happy to do that, but I have a really important message for you, Jeff. It's hockey
Okay.
puck, rattlesnake, monkey underpants. Just had to say that. So yeah, no, live chat. And if you know, you know. That's a quote, by the way. Yeah, live chat. We have a really cool live chat, live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you find it. That's actually literally where we live stream this very show. So if you are listening to this right now, or watching this actually, yeah, watching this then I hope you're on live.britishtechnetwork.com, and then just come join our chat. It's literally on the side, like on the right-hand side, or under, if you're on the phone, under the live stream, literally there. Super easy. You're right in. You just have to start typing. If you want to change the automatically generated name that you get, like Condescending Leland, something like that. I don't know. Vigorous Link or something like that. You can actually change your name. Click on the little purple thing up top, and then there's the first option is change name. Pick a name, pick a different name, and that's it. I don't know. Maybe it's rattlesnake, monkey underpants. I don't know. It's your choice. But if you are listening to this on the website, in your podcast player of choice, wherever you're finding this content, like, and you're like, oh, I really would like to get to the links to all the stories or the links to the cool things that are coming up now, then you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And there is a like really nice calendar on this page that asks you for a date, and you just click on it, whatever date you want to pick. For example, today you could pick October 17th, 2024. That's today's date. Usually Thursdays and Fridays are good dates to pick, because that's usually when the shows were. So that's where you will find content. And if you click that, if you pick that date, you will see whatever was talked about on that day in our live ch chat. So pick today's date, October 17th, 2024.
Awesome. Thank you. And you rock.
Thank you.
And you're also the fastest with cool things this week.
Oh, I am.
So tell us about your cool thing. And I feel kind of privileged because you told me about this
I
a
know.
day or two ago.
I did. It's a brand new, just released, I think a week ago, something like that. October 15th. Actually, 2 days ago, I guess, a book from Nicole Maines. If you don't know who she is or was Dreamer. She is Dreamer on Supergirl. The show is not on air anymore, but she still is Dreamer. She's also the protagonist in Becoming Nicole, for example, book by Alice Nutt. She's been like all over the internet and fandoms and so on. And she has written a book about her life, her story. It's a memoir, I would say. Yes, she's still very young, but why not? You can talk about it. And the title is, and I love the title, It Gets Better, Except When It Gets Worse, and Other Unsolicited Truths I Wish Someone Had Told Me. That's the book, and it's really good. It's super, I mean, if you know her or seen her or whatever, she is super funny. And she goes all over the map, like her story, like working on a show with basically no experience, fandom, stuff that she's interested in, stuff that she's writing, like just like everything. Dealing with what's happening in the US right now in the last basically many, many years to LGBTQ people and so on. So it, she's like, that's it. And she's funny. I mean, it's literally, she's just, honestly, this is probably one of the most genuine person, people vibes I've gotten from a book like this. You know, like there's been, I mean, I've read whatever, Will Smith's book and Oprah and like a lot of others. She feels like a person in this book. It's her, as far as I know. It just felt like it. I don't know. It's just one of the things. It's, I think there is a hard copy, but I'm listening to it on Libro as an audiobook. I think it's pretty sure it's also on Audible or all the other places where you can find audiobooks. I don't know, Apple Audio, what is it? Apple Books, I guess, though. That's how long I haven't used it. Whatever, like whatever, Barnes & Noble, whatever service you're using, you will probably find it. She reads it herself. It's not super long. It's like 6 hours-ish. So it's not a long book. It's not a 20-hour story. But she's also still young, so go read it. Awesome. Super funny.
Awesome. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Very cool pick. And I think the book cover, I know, don't judge a book by its cover. The book cover is fantastic.
In this case,
it's very, it's a very good cover. That's a yes. Great cover.
Yes, it's really good. As I said, and she's a good, I mean, she is a good writer and she is funny.
Awesome.
She's good. She like funny, but like not, it's not like, whatever, like, Carlin or whatever funny, like comedian funny. She's like real person, haha funny, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not a satire or something. Like it's literally her being goofy and whatever. Like that's normal person funny, basically. And I really love that. I'm a big fan of hers. I've been a big fan of hers for a long time. So,
awesome. Cool. All right. Tom, your turn.
Okay. My cool thing is an art exhibit. This may be a first and a last for me. Art exhibit on a tech show. It's called The San Quentin Project by Nigel Poor, and it's an exhibit in, I think it's in Bristol.
Yeah.
It's part of the Bristol Photo Festival.
Which is where my store is at university.
Oh, really? In Bristol?
Yeah.
I think we have, I know at least one listener that lives in that area. So Nigel Poor is a woman who, she's a photographer, professor of some sort. I can't remember what, at California State University. And she's also part of the Ear Hustle podcast, the one that is run out of San Quentin Prison here in the Bay Area. And so the exhibit is about basically life in San Quentin. And she's a great photographer. She's a really cool person. And so if you're into photography, if you're in the area, I think it would be worth checking out.
That looks super cool. You know, I'm feeling like the cool thing quality today is at a super high level. So, Ian, you need to keep it up. But then I'm really worried about how far I'm going to bring it down when it's my turn.
Well, maybe we can go down in steps, sort of thing. Because my thing is ultimately super, super geeky, but something I needed today. And I realized that actually was really cool and really helpful that I could do that. So there's a open source tool called Pandoc. What Pandoc does is kind of like the universal document converter.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take format X and turn it into format Y. My use case today was I had a document in Word. I wanted it in Markdown. I didn't want to recreate the whole document with all the images and graphics. One line, I dumped it out in GitHub quality Markdown. I could then just go and tidy up a bit of the code that it didn't recognize where my bits of code were amongst the text and the pictures. But superb, really, really good. And you can make PDFs with this. You can take Markdown and turn them into doc files. You can take Markdown and turn them into EPUBs. the world is your oyster with this tool. It's incredibly useful. It's just a command. It is a command line thing, though, it has to be said. There are some GUIs. PanWriter, if you've ever used that on the Mac, that uses the same engine in the background. So when you've completed your markdown, you can spit it out in a format that can be exchanged with PDF or whatever else if you don't want to
Ian,
share markdown.
I Ian, GUIs are for wimps anyway. Command lines are best.
And this also means now I've tested this, but if I do need to move the rest of our docs into a markdown format, it's trivial for me to be able to gather them all into one folder, point the tool at them, just say them there, and it'll go away and
That's
do it. It
pretty
was
cool.
really, really straightforward.
Yeah.
So
Boy,
yeah,
it covers almost everything. This is cool.
there's so much it doesn't do. And if you're at university and into geeky things with LaTeX and all these other kind of formats and Emacs, that's your tool.
Yeah,
Really, that's your
or
tool.
you have a
Brilliant. It
CSV
even
and
does.
you want to convert it into a Markdown file.
It even does runoff. I'm probably the only one old enough to remember runoff used to be the standard for manuals.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Used to.
From
But
the
yeah, some of
80s.
the formats is you get the old Animax and you get all that sort of the things in HTML. Well, yeah. But EPUBs and
Interesting.
also wiki markdowns as well. If you play around
Yeah.
with things like TiddlyWiki and all those kind of
Yeah,
things, you
DocuWiki
can
into
convert them there
Markdown,
very,
for
very,
example.
very easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even Jira Wiki. Like
Super
if you're working
helpful.
with Jira in like at work and you like need to convert that or convert from Markdown into Jira, for example, for automated generation of pages or something, or the other way around. Easy
Yeah.
peasy. Yeah, it's a really good
Very
tool.
cool. Oh, that's a good one,
I must have a go at
Ian.
send something to PowerPoint. I might have to try that at some point.
I don't feel like you stepped us down at all, Ian.
No, this is a good one.
No, that's a really good tool.
Yeah.
Super geeky. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Perfect for this show.
now here,
Yeah,
yep, totally perfect for the show. And I'm about to bring us down a notch. It's an anime series that I recently discovered. I guess it's new, fairly new, on Netflix called Terminator Zero. And the premise of the story is that in 1997, there's a scientist, researcher, whatever, in Tokyo who's working on some advanced technology stuff. And now you have a Terminator showing up. So the idea is not all Terminator related incidents revolve around Los Angeles. This one's in Tokyo. I've only watched the first couple episodes, but it's fun. And there's a lot you can do with this kind of story in animation because it's a lot cheaper than trying to do it
Oh, yeah.
in live action with CGI and super expensive special effects. So that,
And it
yeah.
has
So anyhow.
Rosario. And it has Rosario Dawson.
Yeah,
Which
that's
is a
all
big selling
right.
point because, I mean, you might know
Oh,
her
yeah.
from Ahsoka as Ahsoka.
The Matrix.
And she's done a couple
I mean,
other
Men in Black.
and yeah, shows of voiceover work. Wow.
Space Jam, for
I'm
example.
glad everyone figured out what I was trying to say since I couldn't get the words to come out of my mouth.
We got it, Jeff. We got it.
We got there.
Yeah. Anyhow, I've only seen the first couple episodes. There's eight total, and this is very much an adult show.
Right, cool.
But I'm enjoying it so far. And typical for this type of series on Netflix, each episode is just under half an hour. So even with eight episodes, it's not going to be a huge time commitment. And
Pretty
it's
cool.
kind of fun. So there you go.
I don't think you
Terminator
brought us that.
Zero. I might have a go at that. No, not at all.
All right, well,
Thinking
I
back into my
appreciate your
story about
generosity.
AIs and nuclear reactors.
It really does fit in with that well.
It
Yep.
does.
And someone even made a Terminator reference during that part of the show. So
Funny.
There you go. I was playing a long tail game with this one, tying it back into the rest of the show, and I'm going to go with that. All right. So, with that, it's now time to wrap up and figure out where people can find all of us. So, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Grant. Look for me there. Look to do with Veeam. Otherwise, I'm sometimes in the Slack room, and I'm always here on a Thursday on the Big Show.
Awesome. Awesome. And Patrice, how about you? Where can people find you?
Well, I am here on this very show every Thursday and also on the Mac show on Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time, if you want to listen to us live. I mean, of course, you don't have to, but it's more fun that way. I'm like all my projects, my podcasts, my social medias. Yes, all my websites are belong to us. That's yes. So no, everything is on my website, thepatrice.com. And Jeff and I have a really cool podcast, and I love to show the mark Retro Rewatch. That's our podcast where we rewatch like retro TV shows that usually Jeff. Well, so far, Jeff has not seen before, and I have. And we're rewatching Stargate SG-1, and we're in the middle of season one. And it's getting really good at this point. Like the last one, not gonna lie. But I can tell you the next one will be more fun.
Yeah, it's Patrice, I'm glad we're doing the show.
Me too.
And I'm glad that the rough start to the season isn't an indicator of how the rest of the show
No,
goes.
and it's mostly behind us.
Yep. excuse me. All right, Tom, where can people find you?
When I'm not listening to retro rewatch, you mean? You can find me on the open social platform Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Then for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram, which is where you can find all of my little drawings that I'm doing for Inktober. And
Really cool.
then for, oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah,
It's
nice.
fun
I'm
to
enjoying
do.
them. Yeah, they're great.
Well, if even one drawing can bring a smile to someone's face, then I'll consider the whole thing a success. So, I guess that means I can stop now because everyone has enjoyed them so far. I'm not going to stop. I'll complete the whole month. All right. Shows. Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Then Patrice already mentioned Retro Rewatch. And even the episodes of the series that I, of SG-1 that I watched, that I'm like, that kind of hurt.
Yeah, like the last one.
Like the last one. Yeah, that one kind of hurt. I'm still
Yes.
enjoying the series and I'm enjoying doing Retro Rewatch. And then Brian Chaffin and I, we do The Context Machine. So with that, thank you to the three of you for just being so amazingly wonderful and putting a smile on my face today. I do look forward to Thursdays for the big show and Fridays for the Mac show every single week because I get to hang out with such amazingly cool people. So I consider myself the lucky one here, and not just because Ewan hasn't caught on and said, you know, maybe we should find someone else to host. But anyhow, thank you, all of you. You rock. And everyone that's watching, listening live, thank you for being here. If you've been participating in the live chat, thanks for doing that too. You are all awesome, just as are all of the people who watch and listen to the shows later. So thank you to all of you for being part of our big happy BTN family. And the foundation of a family, that would be Ewan. So Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Go give them some online love, please. And with that, it is now time to wrap up. So, all of you, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show, but also show up tomorrow for the Mac show because we always have a great time there. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.